Thank you for tuning into Soldiers of the Light Ministries, Life's Lessons in Christ podcast with your host, Pastor Joe. Each episode will include a conversation style recording where Joe will include a realistic theological perspective to having a close desire and growing closer in allegiance to Jesus Christ and how he contributes his understanding of the Christian life of the world we live in today. Please keep in mind that the audio quality may vary since these podcasts are recorded on multiple devices. The Life's Lessons in Christ episodes are brought to you by Soldiers of the Light Ministries Productions Incorporated. Don't forget to subscribe and thanks again for tuning in.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, good morning. God bless you. It is another beautiful day that God has saw fit for us to live to see today. And I'm glad, and I will. I don't know about you, but I'm going to find every reason that I can to rejoice and be glad in it. So good morning, good morning, good morning. Today, we're still in these parables. And I got to tell you, man, it's teaching me something. You know, I don't care. I can go over God's word 1,000 times over, and I always discover something new, something new. Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Today, we're going to talk about the parable of the lost son. The parable of the lost son. And listen, everybody has heard this story many times over. And if you haven't, guess what? I'm going to share it with you again. I'm going to be coming to you today from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. And here we go again with this connection thing. But listen, stay with me. Don't lose me. All right. Listen, let's talk about this thing. Let's be about this thing. The parable of the lost coin. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24, the New King James Version. And it reads, this is Jesus talking. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, right? Journeyed to a far country and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. Wow. But when he had spent it all, there arose a severe famine in the land and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. Excuse me. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough, right? Has bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great far way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted cow here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this day my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now may the Lord bless the reading of the word as always. All right. I like this part because I was reflecting on some things, y'all. So bear with me this morning. You know, when you go back to that scripture in verse 24, he says, this, my son was dead and is alive again. You know, the chief message of this passage is unmistakable. The hunger of God, right? The hunger of God, I'm going to repeat it again. The hunger of God for the wayward person and the hunger of the wayward person for God. The Almighty God is doing all he can, right, in this world today to bring the wayward home. And at the same time, many wayward people are longing to be at home with the Heavenly Father. Interesting. Now, watch this now. We will consider this morning this dilemma, right? Under four descriptions. I'm going somewhere with this morning, so bear with me. The first one is rebellion. Rebellion. Simple word, right? Sin is rebellion against God. Rebellion has its origin in selfishness, right? We notice in the scripture passages that the essence of the prodigal's request was, give me, he said, give me what I want, right? So I can go on my own, right? Now, rebellion is a refusal to comply with God's standards. Isn't that amazing how even today our own kids can assert themselves in a certain manner and say, give me what I want, or that fascinating age. Everybody knows it. That fascinating, I'm not talking 21. I'm talking that fascinating age of 18. At the age of 18, every teenager on this earth thinks that now they're 18 and they are adults. And they can do their own thing. And many of them will say, I can go as I please. I can come as I go. I can do what I want at 18. But many are sadly mistaken, because many of them today, even this Gen Z generation, these millennials, when they're 18 years old and they're still living under the roof of their parents, isn't there always a state of rebellion? Yeah, we want the best for our kids, and we want to lead them and guide them. But isn't it amazing how there's always a state of rebellion when they turn 18, when the peer pressures of life hit them and they think, oh, man, I got status now. I'm 18 years old. You can't tell me what to do. Maybe so. But I've learned that I wouldn't ever say that to my mom at 18 years old. That you can't tell me what to do, especially if I'm living under her roof. Stay with me. Stay with me. Now watch this. Rebellion in its progress, right, is dispensation. Dispensation is satisfying one's own lust in one's own way, right? Dispensation is satisfying one's own lust in one's own way. The prodigal wanted, watch me now, he wanted his inheritance so he could chase after his own desires. This describes a person's refusal to trust his or her life even to God. Now, my next thing is this. There's not only the rebellion part, right? But there's also the result of rebellion. Now, in the passage, the result of rebellion is estrangement from the Father. Watch me now. The wayward son was separated from the love of his father. The love was there, but the son did not want to benefit from it. Listen, love, I've learned in life that love cannot be forced, nor can one's response to love, right? Both must be voluntary. I'm going to say it again, right? I'm going to say it again. The love was there, but the son did not want to benefit. Love cannot be forced, nor can one's response to love, right? Both must be voluntary. Now, I say that because I'm always looking at examples, even in my life. Even in my life, you know, I have children that I love dearly, and I want the best for them, you know, but the world pulls at them. And the world says, no, don't do it this way, do it that way. And even though I might say, well, don't go that way, because if you go that way, it's only going to lead to destruction. But you don't understand. I'm 18 years old now. I can make my own rules. And you know what's crazy? Both of my kids did that. When they graduated, they didn't wait. When they graduated, they said to me, I'm 18 years old. I can do as I please. I can come and go as I please. But I had to make some standards and I had to make some things understood. Yeah, you may be able to come and go, but I still have rules in this house. And isn't it amazing how we as God's children will rebel against his rules? Watch me now. Watch me now. His rules. Isn't it amazing how we will find ourselves rebelling against God, even in his house, even in rebelling against his word? Oh, come on, somebody. I'm going somewhere with this morning. Stay with me. Watch me now. Watch me now. Now, I said that it can never be forced, right? Nor can one's response to love. Right now, but in this passage, the result of rebellion is estrangement from the comforts of home. For example, a good, affluent family may live in a fine, comfortable home, right? A son could have the privilege of living in that home and chooses to live, right, in that home, chooses to live in squalor. This describes a person's spiritual life when he or she rebels against the Heavenly Father and lives in the mirror of sin. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all gonna make me, y'all put me to work. It's getting warm in here, and y'all might make me to start to preach this morning, but I won't do that. Listen to me. In this passage, the result of a rebellion is an estrangement from the rights of home. At home. Okay? As I said earlier, and I'm giving you some examples again. At one time, the young man had all the rights and privileges of a son, right? He was a legal heir, but yet in his rebellion, he became a hired man living in a hog pen. Wow. He had everything, right? The depth of his depravity is seen in that he asked to be a slave. When I look at my kid's life, and y'all pray for him. But when I look at my kids' life and I see them going into the wayward world and how the enemy is making them slaves to sin, slaves to the things of this world. Come on now. I'm going somewhere with this morning. Stay with me. Now. In this passage, the result of a rebellion is estrangement from the provisions of home. The necessities of life that we all know are food, clothing, and shelter. Now, the young man had none of these necessities during his rebellion. Now, watch me now. I'm going to my next point here. I gave you rebellion. I gave you the result of rebellion, and now I'm going to give you the repentance of rebellion. Repentance is a change of mind. When we as people repent, right, the evil they once loved, they now hate. Isn't that amazing? You know, especially those that have a wanting desire to be close to God. The evil that they once loved, they now hate or they now denounce. Watch me now. The company they once enjoyed, they now shun. The God they once scorned, they now embrace. Now, there are four steps, mind you, four steps to repentance. Four steps. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but this word is for you. There are four steps. The first step is right thinking. For example, what am I doing here? You ever find yourself questioning yourself that way? Right. The second step is recognition. I see where I am because of what I have done. The third step is resolution. I will arise. Watch me now. This is the prodigal son. He's talking about this, right? I will arise and go to my father. Can you imagine that? He's out there in the world. He done spent his possession, his worldly possession. Now, watch this now. Watch this. The first step is he's thinking, he's out there, what am I doing here? Right? And then the second is he says, I see where I am because of what I've done. He realizes his mistake. He realizes his downfall. He realizes that, man, I blew it. Right? And then the third step is I will arise and go to my father. I will turn from my sin. The fourth step is simple. The fourth step is he made the step to return. To return home. Now, the reception of the rebellious son is this. The scripture passage contains symbols of welcome, right? Watch me now. In the story, the father sees his son. And isn't it amazing how we as parents, we know our children, we know their body language, we know the shape and form in which they were made, right? And we can see them from afar off. And we can know, we can pick our child out of a crowd. Out of a crowd. And it's amazing how the father was probably, I can't imagine, man. I don't know if he was in the field or if he was sitting on the porch in a rocking chair, just rocking, just thinking about his son, just wondering about his son, just praying over his son, just waiting for his son to return. And then he saw his son. He saw his son. And listen, he didn't sit there and say, oh, here he comes. Oh, I got a few words I got to say to that boy. All right, look at him. I know he's coming. Yeah. It's about time. No. He saw his son. And watch this now. The reception of the rebellious son is this. The scripture passage contains symbols of welcome. The robe. Yeah. The robe. I'm not talking about that cape. You know, I'm not talking about Superman's cape. Right? I'm not talking about James Brown's robe when he got done doing his dance. The robe of love, right? The robe symbolized honor. Honor. The ring and shoes were symbols of freedom, right? And being fully complete, right? And complete. Watch this now. Being fully complete. And they even gave you issues and examples, symbols of forgiveness. Right. The fatted cow was a symbol of joy and rejoicing. The whole parable, watch me now, is a symbol of God's welcome. Taste on that, right? Watch me now. Now, in the reception, the very heart of God is revealed. And what I mean by that, God is seen as a loving father who longs for the wayward to come home. He longs for the wayward to come home. He is seen as a forgiving God who removes all that stands, between a sinful man, right, and a holy God. Plain and simple. Jesus paved the way. Now, I can only imagine if that son, watch me now, because Jesus was giving an illustration of things to come, right? Things that would happen, because the illustration of the old ways used to be that if there was to be a forgiveness of sin, then the laws that were back then, you had to go to the priest. Ha ha. But watch me now. Now, because of Jesus, there's no more separation. There is that connection, that SD card that you slot in. That USB cord that you plug in, there is now a connection. There is no more separation between you and God. You and God. That's how God sees us. Now, watch this now. Watch this. He is also seen, right, as a rewarding God who showers mercy, right, on those who come to him in repentance and faith. Listen, plain and simple. But I want you to understand something here. By understanding and reading this parable, anyone can find out how to be saved. Did you ever think about that? How to be saved. Listen, if you haven't made that choice yet, and if you haven't fully acknowledged the simple things that God wants to do, God loves the wayward children. I can only picture God sitting on his throne of grace and mercy, of grace and mercy, ready, just saying, there's my child. I love him. I just want to comfort him. Go get the robe. Yeah. Go get that best robe I got for them. And let me put it on them. That's how God sees us, right? And he's just waiting to embrace you. He's waiting to fall on you, hug you, and kiss you, and welcome you home. Listen, by reading this passage, I hope that you can find out how to be saved. And I hope you will take this parable's message seriously. And if you find yourself being that wayward son and going off into your own, I pray that you will turn back and come on home to your Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for the provisions that you give. Lord, we thank you for the inheritance that you have bestowed upon, that you yearn to give every child that comes to you. Lord, you embrace this whole world as your children, as your family. You are our Heavenly Father. And yes, Lord, there are many, many that have come to you and said, give me my inheritance. Give me what I want. And Lord, even though you know the outcome, you graciously give it to them. I can only imagine that as you give it to them and you know the outcome, you know what's about to happen, just how much your heart grieves for that child, for us as your children. Lord, I pray, Father God, that many of those that have gone out and have blown their true inheritance, that they would recognize the need to turn away from the sins of this world and come back to you. I pray for those that are lost, that Lord God, you would call them. Lord, your son Jesus would go and find that lost sheep and bring them home, carry them. Lord, forgive us, Lord God, if we've gotten away or we've gotten beside ourselves or we've acted like that rebellious child and said to you, give us what we want instead of what you know what's best for us. Forgive us, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you change our attitudes and our mindset to be more like you. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you will draw everybody near to you and less of the things of this world. Lord, I want me, myself, and I pray that everybody under the sound of my voice would want to say, I want to be close to you. I want more and more of you and less of me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I pray for those, Lord God. I pray for those people that are in need. I pray for those that need healing. I pray, Lord God, that provisions are made and provided. I pray for those, Lord God, in faraway countries that are striving to do what needs to be done. I pray, Father God, that you will bless them and lead them in a mighty way, Lord. Lord, we pray for the leaders of this nation on every side. We pray for the President of the United States. We pray for all the leaders. We lift them up before you. We don't condemn. We don't put them down. We don't talk about them. But Lord God, help us to elevate and lift them up before you. Because Lord God, prayer changes things. And Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that many of us will get to the spirit of prayer so that, Father God, we can see the majesty of your power of prayer changing the dynamics. Nothing gets past your throne of grace and mercy. Lord, I pray for your people here today. I pray for those under the sound of my voice and those who will come on later to hear this message. I pray, Lord God, a hedge protection over their lives, their families, and even all my friends and coworkers. Bless them, Lord. Let us all have a good day in you. I pray for healing, financial blessings. Open up the windows of heaven, Lord. And I pray that you touch those that are in need. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, amen, amen, and amen again. Listen, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. and by the grace and mercies of God. I'll see you next time. Take care. God bless. Hello, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Soldier Lights Ministries, Life's Lessons in Christ. Hey, do me a favor. Subscribe to the podcast, and I'm pretty sure once you subscribe, it goes as a blessing to the ministry, and it helps the ministry grow to where God can meet the needs of the people. Thanks again. God bless you, and I'll see you next time. Take care.